Let's begin, Bob, with a report that you're dissecting that basically boils down to allegations of torture at a local ICE detention facility.
So I think first we need to acknowledge that this is a report from immigrant advocates, so the audience needs to know that. It's based on a series of intake interviews that they did with detainees at the Otero County Detention or the Otero County Processing Center, which is a private ICE facility in Chaparral, New Mexico, just outside the state line from El Paso. And in these interviews, they found a wide variety of treatments that, according to them, are classified as torture under both federal law and international law. And that would include using isolation as a means of punishment, solitary confinement, denying medical care. And ICE obviously denies this, but one of the main points that the authors of this make, and made it to Renee Klagic, our reporter who covered this, is that Otero County Processing Center to them is not some exception or an outlier among ICE. They find it very typical of ICE facilities and the techniques that ICE uses to control or in some cases punish these detainees. And it's important to remember that these are not people accused of a crime. They're in a civil process to determine whether they can lawfully remain in the United States.
Since this summer, you've been part of a national reporting project on how COVID-19 has been impacting rural school districts. Take us through that process and tell us what you've found.
Yeah, so the Institute for Nonprofit News put together a collaboration of, I think it's eight news organizations, which include El Paso Matters and New Mexico In Depth in New Mexico, to look at what's really been kind of an overlooked issue, which is how is the pandemic affecting rural schools. A lot of the national coverage is really focused on urban school districts. And so at El Paso Matters, we focused on two rural school districts on the Texas-Mexico border, Fort Hancock and Tornillo, which are both just east of El Paso. And they faced lots of unique challenges. You've got families who live on both sides of the border. The availability of Wi-Fi is a major challenge. And both Fort Hancock and Tornillo have been trying to get kids to come back to school and have been really, really struggling because of these various challenges. And I think one of the things I'm proudest of with our reporting is we actually brought on a young woman from Fort Hancock, Mariela Jimenez-Rivero, to tell the story. She graduated a couple of years ago from Fort Hancock High School, knows the area really well. And so she told a really complete story over the last few months, along with Molly Smith, our education reporter, about what's happening in these rural school systems.
And in the El Paso Independent School District, the search is on for a new superintendent.
Yeah, and so for your audience, it's important to note that El Paso ISD is the largest school system in El Paso, although one of the challenges it's facing is declining enrollment. The superintendent resigned last year, Juan Cabrera, and so the district is just starting the process to search for a new superintendent. And so Molly Smith, our education reporter, talked to a number of stakeholders, parents, teachers, and other community members about the kind of qualities that they think are important in a new superintendent. And probably the issue that comes up more than anything else is whether the next superintendent should have ties to El Paso and be familiar with this area. Like many school systems, our large districts have had a habit in recent years of hiring people from outside El Paso and bringing them in. That has created some challenges over time. And so there's a lot of momentum, I think, to try to find someone from El Paso to lead EPISD, or at a minimum, somebody who has a strong understanding of the U.S.-Mexico border region.
All right. And I just want to acknowledge that we hear, I think, a little buddy of yours in the background. Why don't you tell us who that is?
That's Mickey, my 14-year-old border collie mix. My wife is out running an errand right now, and he just hates it when one or the other of us leaves the house.
Yes.
His anxieties go way up. So
he likes to keep you herded together.
That's exactly right. He's got a border collie mission here, so thanks for letting me explain that.
All right, Bob. Thank you so much. Have a wonderful week.
Thank you. You too.